la vez. Juega y por fe doblía a Jesús, y siempre feliz comer seré. Subió una cruz, mi buen Señor, su sangre derramó. En la cruz lo primero vi la luz, y las manchas de mi alma yo lavé. Fue ahí por fe doblé a Jesús, y siempre feliz con él seré. Venció la muerte con poder, y al cielo se exaltó. Confiar en él es mi placer, morir no temo yo. En la cruz, lo primero vi la luz, y las manchas de mi alma yo lavé. Fue ahí por fe doblé a Jesús, y siempre feliz con él seré. Aunque se fue, solo estoy, mando al Consolador. Divino Espíritu que hoy me da perfecto amor. En la cruz lo primero vi la luz, y las manchas de mi alma yo lavé. Fue ahí por fe doblé a Jesús, y siempre feliz con él seré.
Amen.
All right, let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll go to Philippians 1. Dear Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word here. I ask you to keep me out of the way. Help the words that come out of my mouth to be your words. And help us to understand, all of us to understand, and not just be hearers of the word, but actually do it and obey you, and that you be glorified through what is said and done this evening. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, in Philippians, obviously I'm not going to have a fight with anybody about this, but I tend to think that people think, the theme of the book of Philippians is joy. I agree that joy is one of the themes. I would say that either an equal theme or maybe even more, like I said, not arguing with anyone else, is the gospel. Because why was Paul joyful? He says, I joy and rejoice for your fellowship in the gospel. I joy and rejoice that you guys at once are giving for the sake of the gospel. I joy, you know what? He's joyful. Why? He's in jail. Well, I joy and rejoice because I'm still preaching. You know, by the way, I want to encourage you, this goal that Paul had of reaching people with the gospel, you couldn't stop this man. First off, he says, I'm going to preach because for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, and unfortunately, I can't say this, and I don't know if anyone here that can, he says, no matter where I've gone, I have never failed to preach the gospel. Not one time have I missed it. That's saying something. He had this goal, and he said, and so what, they tried to shut him up, right? They tried to stop him. So what did they do? We're going to put you in jail. Huh, that's fine. I'll preach to my guards. Captive audience, literally. They're not going anywhere. He said, in the book of Philippians, he says, you know what? Those are Caesar's household. He said earlier, I don't want you to be worried about me in chapter 1 because it's gone to the furtherance of the gospel. People have heard the gospel that never would have heard. You ever had a problem that you thought was such a big problem and then you realized God had that problem so you could talk to someone about the gospel that you wouldn't have talked to? You know, you had a health problem. You go to the hospital. You talk to a nurse that you never would have talked to hadn't you had gone to the hospital. Or you had a car problem, and you get to talk to the mechanic that you never would have talked to had you not had a car problem. You know, we have these problems that God uses, and we see it as a problem. But Paul says, you know what? Me to live is Christ, die is gain. It has nothing to do with this other stuff. I had a time where, I'm not sure if I told you the story last time, but I have my guitar. I left it at one of the churches. We had a conference, we were at Bible conferences, and I left it there, and I was so frustrated because we're getting ready to come back on furlough, and I don't have time for this. And I was getting carnal, okay? I was being carnal about this, upset. So what happens? I finally get all these other things, trying to help these other people get here and there, and I finally get back there. And as I'm getting ready to go to the church, to go down to where the church is at, I'm coming over this hill, and this lady, who is the granddaughter of one of our church members, is running out, socorro! She's like, help! She's yelling for help. Why? Because her little baby got a little piece of chicken, it's a little fat, stuck up in her throat, and she's choking. And the hospital is a little, four or five rooms in this building over in our little village. I'm over there. I'm driving like Jehu here, okay? I'm driving furiously. I'm getting over there trying to tell her how to possibly get this out of this. Listen, is she breathing properly? All this type of stuff. And I had to apologize to God because he worked me over. Here I am complaining. Oh, come on. Lord, I don't have time for this. Yes, you do. Because if I hadn't had to go back for my guitar, I never would have passed by at that exact time when that little girl was choking and she wouldn't be alive. Is that because, oh, the great mission? No, that's because the missionary was complaining because God had brought a problem and I was upset and God used it for something good. Yeah. And I want to encourage you, you know, Paul's saying, you know, you want to jail me? Fine. I'll preach to my guards. Oh, well, then you know what we'll do? We'll preach instead of you. Okay. I don't care. Let everybody preach because it's not about me. It's about God. Let everyone tell about him. I don't care. Oh, fine. Then we're going to kill you. Me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Thank you. In fact, Paul here in the book of Philippians, he says, you know what? I got a choice between two things. I am in a strait, he says, betwixt two. Basically, I'm fighting between two decisions here. I got to go be with God, which is much better, or I got to stay and help you guys. But you know what? Since it's good for you guys that I stay, I think I'm going to stick around. Basically, these guys have nothing to say about it. They can't stop me. They can't make me stay. And I want to encourage you in that idea. The title here is El Enfoque, or the focus, or the goal. Why do you do what you do? Why are you here in church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why do we do what we do? Well, the Bible says in verse number 27, it says, only let your conversation or your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The first thing, how are we supposed to walk? Because when you have a game, it's important to know the rules, right? Basketball, got to use your hands. You kick the ball, illegal. You try to play soccer using your hands, unless you're the goalie, illegal. Okay? You have to know what the rules are. So how are we supposed to walk this Christian life? How are we supposed to have this goal? We're on a team, by the way. I told you before, we're all part of the family. We're part of a team. We're working together. You guys are supposed to be doing here what I do in Bolivia. We're part of the same team. So how are we supposed to walk? It says, walk worthy, as it becometh. The word in Spanish is digno, which means worthy. Act like you are. Who are you? You're a Christian. Being a Christian means you're God's son or daughter. What you do reflects on him. When I'm over in Bolivia, everyone knows who my kids are. What they do reflects on me. Why? They're my kids. What you do reflects on God. Your testimony is important. Oh, I'm not important. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter if I come to church. It doesn't matter if I obey God during the week. Yes, it does. Because I guarantee you, you have pastor and anyone else is going over, visitation tomorrow. Guess what? Your testimony is important. Because what they think about this church depends on whether they're going to respond properly or not. And so I want to encourage you. Your testimony is important. What you do is important. Walk worthy. You know, when we see royalty, you see what's going on with Prince Harry and all this type of stuff. You know what? When you're royalty, you're supposed to act a certain way, right? We're royalty. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is our Heavenly Father, so therefore we are royalty. Act like it. Act like a Christian. But not only that, it says, regardless of who's seeing, it says that whether I come and see you or else be absent. You know what we do when we do something wrong? What's the first thing we do? Right? What'd we forget? He sees everything. But it shouldn't matter whether someone's watching you or not. You should do what is right because it's right. It shouldn't be, well, I'm going to step on some toes, but it shouldn't be, well, I'm going to watch this movie, but if the pastor shows up, oh, turn it off. Listening to this music in my car, like, pardon me, pastor. He's like, oh, it's the pastor. Before you answer, turn the music down. We shouldn't have to do that, right? Now, I understand pastor may have some different beliefs as far as music and movies and so forth. I understand that. But I'm talking about if you know it's wrong, it shouldn't matter whether someone's watching or not. You should do what is right because it is right. And it says, and also working together, being unified, it says that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of what? The gospel. That's why I say the gospel is a huge theme here. He says, work together for the gospel. We're the same team here. You see a team that is fighting with each other, there's one of two things that are true. One, either they are losing already, or number two, they're just about to lose. You have a team, and you get started fighting and arguing, give me the ball, no, it's mine. They're probably not going to win. Not going to work too well. You got to be a team, working together. Now, I was back up here right before the service, quickly went back to the restroom back there. You know what? It's clean. Well, so what? Well, someone cleaned it. You know that person's important? That job is important? Yeah. Oh, well, that's not important. That's just a bathroom. Try having a church service without a clean bathroom and find out how many people show back up the next service. Right? Yeah. We're part of the body of Christ. We're on a team here. And every single part is important. And I want to encourage you to play your part. To act as a Christian, regardless of whether someone's watching or not, being unified together, working together. Now, we have some distractions. There are always going to be distractions. If you go and you play a game in the opposing team's stadium, you know those fans aren't going to cheer for you? You make a basket, or you score a goal, you score a touchdown, don't expect the other team's fans to go, woo! No. What are they going to do?
Boo!
Well, come on. I made it. Why? They're not your fans. They're not in for your success here, okay? You know the world is not going to like what you do. Many times we as Christians, we get offended or we get scared because of what other people are going to do or even what they might do. And I'm not saying that it's not difficult. For example, when you're in school, peer pressure is a real thing. It is. But you know what? You don't have to be afraid of them. Because it's not about what they do. They're not going to be on your side. They're not going to like what you do. Why? Because they have other goals. They want their team to win. And so they're not going to like what you're doing. But that should not deter us from doing it. Because if you're on that team, my responsibility is not to their fans. It's to my team. And it says very clearly, it says, the problem, verse number 28, it says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is them an evident token of perdition. Sorry, I'm talking a little quickly, but just for time constraint here. But to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. This is Paul talking. The same man who was shipwrecked so many times. The same man who was beaten. The same man who was thrown into jail. The same man who was something, literally dead. And all that, he says, you know what? You're going to have the same conflict that they have saw in me. Whoa! Time out. I didn't sign up for this. You know, I'm willing to talk to people when they're listening to me. But once they get, hostile about this, no, I'm not ever talking to them again. I'm not going on vacation. I mean, I keep on saying vacation, don't I? It's not a vacation. I'm not going on visitation again. I'm not talking to these people again. Are you kidding? Last time I did, they yelled at me. What do you expect them to do? That's not part of your team. Their goals and your goals are completely different. Put it this way. Kind of a side note here, but Ephesians chapter 6 is talking about the armor of God, the battle that we're facing here. You know what? It says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rules of darkness, this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting against the devil and his people, okay? You know what the people that you're talking to that yell at you are? Hostages. They're not your enemies. They are brainwashed into thinking they're on this team. They're not. They're brainwashed, and they need to be rescued. And they may try to attack you even, but your job is not to attack them. Your job is to help them and get them out of there. So I want to encourage you in that. You're not going to be happy about this. So what happens when people mock you, when people make fun of you, when people don't like what you say? What do you do? Well, the solution. Chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore, and this is in the supposition, if you understand language, it's basically because this is true, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. You know what consolation is? Comfort. Does God ever comfort us? Oh, absolutely. The peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. Absolutely. God will console you. You have a problem? Go to him. You ever had a child that is crying and yelling and you're scared? But mom and dad come and they give that baby a hug. Consoling. Does God console us? Absolutely. Not only that, any comfort of love. Does God love us? Oh, absolutely. Romans chapter 8 says there is absolutely, we don't even go through the whole list, but you read that chapter, especially verses 36 and following, there is absolutely, positively nothing created that can ever separate us from God. His love is permanent. There is nothing that's going to separate you from His love. He chose to love you, not because of what you deserved, but because He chose to, and that's not changing. And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what are we worried about? Do we have a God that, I mean, it's one thing to have power without love. That's dangerous. We've seen that in our country these days. But when someone has the power and they love me, that's special. And that's my God. He comforts me. He loves me. He says, and He fellowship with the Spirit. Is there fellowship here? Oh, by the way, that's the reason we should be in church. Fellowship. We're part of the same family. We have fellowship, it says in the book of 1 John, it says fellowship with God. And because we're both having fellowship with God, we have fellowship with each other. That's a picture of both marriage and with the church. Basically, the idea of a triangle. The closer you are to God, the closer you're going to be to each other. The idea is we have this fellowship. God wants fellowship with us. That blows my mind, that the God of the universe wants to have fellowship with me. But He does. And it says, and He bowels in mercies. You know, we have Valentine's Day with the heart-shaped chocolates. Back in the Bible times, that's when it was, wasn't it? You know what the love center was? Your gut. Let me ask you, men, when you proposed to that young lady, where'd you feel that? It wasn't just here. You felt it in here, right? You know what? God loves us. He has that deep-seated emotion for us. So He says, you know what? You have a problem? You're getting attacked from the outside? Go to Him. He can handle it. He can handle anything. My God's bigger than anybody. You get attacked from the outside, go into the fort. Go to God. But we also have our internal distractions. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than themselves. Okay, you know who my greatest enemy is? Me. I'm my biggest problem. Because I think that I deserve more. They should treat me this way. And He says, strife, that means fighting, or vainglory. Vain means empty. If I have a big old balloon, I mean big balloon, and I have a brick, which has more substance? The brick. But the balloon looks better. It looks bigger. But it's really not good. It's no substance. There's nothing to it. And we tend to think that, well, I'm so important. Like I said, if you have a team where I am the most important one, I'm not passing the ball. I don't care if it's 3-on-1. I'm going to score this. No, not really. This team's probably not going to win because it's not about you. If I have, I'm about 5'10", about a little over 200 pounds. Okay, so we have, if I have a 300-pound lineman coming to my quarterback, he's going to kill him, okay? He just needs a couple more seconds before this route breaks open. He makes this pass. I'm going to try and make this block. Now, I have two choices. Self-preservation, because I'm going to get mangled here. This is not going on SportsCenter. Or I can get tied up in this guy's legs, get crushed, and give my quarterback a couple more seconds. Now, am I going to get the glory for this? No. Probably the quarterback and the wide receiver are. But my team's going to win. Too many times we're so worried about what people think about us, and we're not worried about the team. What is the goal? The goal is that people should trust Jesus as Savior. And if my life is getting in the way, then there's a problem. And so I want to encourage you to, He says, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know what? The success of my team is more important than my personal success. Yep. And that's not something we like. If somebody else is able to do it, okay. Because it's not about me. It's about the team. It's about God getting the glory. It's about people getting saved for God's glory. That's the whole reason we're here. And so I want to encourage you, if you have the external problems, go to God. If you have the internal problem, get over yourself, basically. Stop being selfish. It's not about you. It's about the team. I am not important because I'm a missionary. I am important because God made me important. I got a job to do, and so do you. And your job is just as important. We're all part of the same team. And if one person, well, it doesn't show up to church or doesn't witness, oh, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Because you are part of the same team, and what you do matters. Now, we're going to finish up with this with a great example. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mindset. How should we think? Okay? who being in the form of God, and that word form, the Jehovah's Witnesses love to say, oh, see, the form of God, he really wasn't God. No, 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 no. That word means the exact replica, exact image. He's perfect. He is God, okay? Being in the form of God, thought on not robbery to be equal with God. What is it, robbery? Well, it's like grabbing a hold of something, holding on really tightly. You won't let go. You ever heard that phrase, taking candy from a baby? You ever tried it? Not easy. And you're looking really bad, okay? You're looking really foolish right about this moment. Why? Because this baby's not letting go. You know, Jesus Christ, being God, had every single right to glorify himself as God. Every right. And he took off that glory. He didn't take off his godhood. He took off the outward expression of that godhood. He took off that and he put on the clothing of a human being. Completely God and completely human at the same time. He could have shown off. But he didn't do it. People say, well, see, it's easy. He's God. Did God heal people? Yes. Did he ever heal himself? No. Did he give food to all those thousands of people? Yes. When he was in the desert being tempted of the devil, did he make food for himself? No. You know what? He had the power and didn't use it. To me, that's even more difficult. That's like a millionaire starving because this guy's not eating. So I can understand what this guy's feeling like. He says he had every right. He gave up. He has his rights. He gave up his rights. These days we're hearing about justice and I have my rights. And no, you don't. They're not your rights. Give up your rights because your rights are not more important than the team. If your rights are more important than the team, you're being a detriment to the team. Jesus, if anyone had rights, it's Jesus. And he gave up his rights. Give up your rights. Do you have a right? I use it like this. Do you have a right not to be yelled at? Yeah, probably not a good thing. Do you have a right not to be made fun of? Yeah. Do you have a right to have people treat you properly? Yeah. But what's the goal? It's not about your rights. It's about what's the goal. And he gave up not only his rights, but also his reputation. He says, reputation as God was, read here, it says, made himself of no reputation. He gave up his reputation. You know, you may be concerned about, and I know with kids especially, and it's not just kids, by the way, we're worried about what other people think. What's my boss going to think? What's my friends going to think? Doesn't matter what they think. You know what? They're the fans of the other team. It doesn't matter what they think. Now, are we going to be jerks about this? No. But you shouldn't be worrying about what they think and then hurting your team. Give up your rights, give up your reputation, and finally, he sacrificed everything. He gave up everything. And what happened? Wherefore, also God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He gave up everything, and he got everything. The world says, you got to get, you got to take, you got... Jesus says you got to give. And I want to encourage you. You can't outgive God. Now, am I a perfect example of this? No. Pray for me. But I want to encourage each and every one of you. You know what? You're part of the same team I'm on. And we're all part of that team. We're all important to that team. There are people you will be able to talk to I will never in my lifetime meet. But you will. And I want to encourage you. And I'm going to be preaching to this choir, but I have a feeling there's someone here that needs this, okay? We need to understand what's the team, what's the goal, what's the focus. Why are we here? Are we here so the pastor doesn't come visit you? Or are we here because we want to hear from God? Amen. Are we going on visitation because if we don't, the pastor's going to ask? Or I'm on staff and I better go? Or are we doing it because we understand the goal? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about what the other people think. It's about him. The end goal, people getting saved so that God can be glorified. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word. I thank you for the privilege of being a part of your team. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to keep us doing what you want us to do and not worried about other people, not having the fear of man which brings a snare. That you would be glorified through this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.